Thank you. Thanks, Elvira. And again, APHA disclosure, I'm not on this panel because I was one of the co-chairs of the program. I'm on the panel because we worked together on this book. And, you know, it's so nice to share the podium with people like Henry, whom we all look up to. Thank you, Henry, for all the work you do. And it's nice to meet, you know, newer colleagues and forge relationships. So apart from that, the only relationship I need to disclose is I'm married, I have a daughter, but that is not in the purview of APHA. So this, again, my apologies, because for some reason, I don't know why, I kind of got double booked. So it's like, you know, it's crazy. We all get jet lagged, but we get APHA lagged, because at the end of, on Wednesday, you don't know where you are. So the objectives briefly are to discuss the role played by academia in strategic allocation of aid, and I will be talking about a few examples which I have worked on with my students in New York, and explain the importance of academia as a major stakeholder in global health promotion. So, you know, academic institutions are really at the crossroads because we are being reached out to more and more by UN agencies, by private sector, by NGOs, because we bring evidence-based information to the table. And this really helps during aid effectiveness. And especially, let me tell you, the may I borrow the photo I gave you for a minute? Thank you. The Sustainable Development Goals were just adopted in September, end of September in the UN. And let me tell you, thanks, that's for you, that it is the first time in the history that it has been such a transparent process, because they reached out to people from academia, they reached out to non-governmental organizations, and this really helps because it was very evidence-based what they proposed, the framework. And also, the MDGs, on the other hand, in 2000, 15 years ago, was a totally closed-door process between the people who, you know, who kind of were the authors or the crafters of it. So I think academia is being reinforced, and the role played by academia in aid effectiveness is being appreciated, and it's at the forefront. And I really like this quote by Ruth Katz, who's a former dean of GW University School of Public Health, and she said that faculty helps produce the research, the evidence that is the basis for global efforts. So it's like it's channeled. It's not, you're not scatty, you're not all over in the place. Like, the whole reason APHA has, and they're not paying me to talk about this, has an app is so that we channel, we know, we have a schedule of where we are going, what we are doing. The same thing is important in aid effectiveness. And I think academics, not being partial as an academic, but I think we bring a lot to the table, all of us who are involved with academia. And also, the other thing is, a lot of us faculty, we have sabbatical, we go on scholarships, we do a lot of work, so we learn. As we go there to teach overseas, we also learn. So all this, it's a beautiful blend, so, and it's not a jarring note, where which really helps us to make sure that aid effectiveness is really helpful. And also, it's partnering with a purpose. And the other thing I want to talk about is the pharmaceutical industry. Like, Pfizer has been partnering with universities, and I had one of my former students who was a Pfizer fellow, and she was sent to India where she worked for like 8 months with the rural people, and she came back and said that was a life-transforming experience, because she came to school, so she was fresh off with her MPH, and she had a business background, and this really helped because she not only interacted with the people there, but she also interacted with the academic people. So this partnership is there. It's like building classrooms without walls for promoting global effectiveness, aid effectiveness. And also the other successful thing, I mean, Paul Farmer and his team, the great work they've done, is also the HIV Equity Initiative launched in 1998 by Partners in Health. And this is the unique distinction that's in your country, I think, sir, I heard you saying you're from Haiti, yes, of being the first program in the world, you should be so proud of it, to provide free services and HIV/AIDS treatment. And this is, PIH works very closely with the Harvard School and the Brigham Women's and Children's Hospital. So again, it's a collaboration and a coalition of academia. So we wear many hats there. And also, Geology for Global Development, this is a think tank. And what happened is it was very successful because India and Pakistan are always out to kill each other, the people of India and Pakistan, which is ridiculous. And they have been really successful in bringing together in people from India and Pakistan and working on issues, for example, climate change, which we have a big issue. And also, there was a conference last year in Leh, which is a disputed region in Ladakh in the Himalayas, and it was organized by these people where they had school children and college children from India and Pakistan participate in coming up with innovations of what can we do to make sure our climate is safe, our environment is protected. So, because you know what we do, the reason I said climate is safe is because some of our thoughtless actions really cause a lot of issues. So this is something, again, academia is definitely also a peace builder. I think it's a beautiful glue for holding so many people together. And this is really exciting, and those of you in academia, I strongly urge you to look at, and I think from you, Bangladesh, sir and ma'am, and I think you're from another institution in New York. When somebody says New York, I go like, yeah, another New Yorker, you know. Sorry, Amir, I love you, but, you know, New Yorkers are New Yorkers. Anyway, so the United Nations Academic Impact, I would strongly urge you to Google it, and you can sign up as a university. Because one of the things is this is a fabulous platform. I've had the opportunity of, being one of the founding members on behalf of my university, New York Medical College. And this is fabulous because it brings together all people from all over the world, and they have the different series to discuss development, aid initiatives, and partnering. And it's a lot of it is in cyberspace. So it does not cost anything. UN Academic Impact is a fabulous thing to sign on to. And their whole mandate is it's a shared culture of intellectual social responsibility. That's what it is. Excuse me. So recently, Amrita University in India and UNAI launched a portal. And they had this whole conference on technology for sustainable development, and it was amazing because they had countries from the global south, and they cooperated with Stanford University, Singapore University, so it was very nice. And even though this was in New York, it was webcast simultaneously, and all the podcasts are archived, so I would strongly recommend you to check it out because it's a fabulous resource for educators. And then, so this is some of the things. You see how the solar panel, they created these, UN Academic Impact has created global hubs for sustainable development, keeping in line with the SDG goals in all over the world. And this is a picture from that, where this, the power to this house is coming through the small solar panel. So, you know, children are not shut out so much. So this is an example of what is being done. And then working in the field. The other thing is we all need to get our hands dirty, and I would strongly urge the young people sitting here. It's always so nice to see the young people sitting. You know, not that we are that old. Age is what you feel. And I think we are feeling tired today, so I think I'm really feeling my age. But what I'm trying to say is it's really important because this is the thing. You need to work in the field with a senior person, because that way aid effectiveness. And I always tell my students, and I'm just going to share a few examples of what we have being done, what was done. So the other thing is the Asia Foundation embarked on a multi-year collaboration with the London School of Economics in the Justice and Research Program. And this is actually another fabulous program because this is an initiative that it has been providing a platform for both the academics and the practitioners. Because, you know, it's just not enough to do research. I mean, you might publish 500 papers, but if you don't know how to address the social determinants on the field and make sure the aid is effectively reaching them without being wasted, minimal waste. If we lived in a perfect world, we'd say 100% of what we do reaches the target, but it doesn't. We have to be realistic here. So that is something we need to be focused on, that yes, research is important, but also you need to have practice on how you use the research. And so all these various partnerships between private-public foundations, between the United Nations universities have really helped us. And it's a mutual benefit because it helps the academic partnership. It also helps the United Nations because they really get some top top-notch, high-edge cutting research which helps them to go forward. So I just want to talk about how we did at New York Medical College, Local Actions and Global Impact. We worked with the United Nations Foundation on their vaccine campaign, and I had, which is called Shot at Life, which is it's an amazing campaign, because if you get one shot free, one shot is donated by Walgreens to kids in developing countries. So what we did is my students put together this book to help fourth class children collect money for other kids in developing countries for vaccines. And the reason I'm saying this is aid effective, because we knew that this went to the person concerned, so it did not get lost in translation. Because everybody is doing so much of work, but often it gets lost in translation. So that's why it's like local actions with a global impact. The other thing we did is, I'm so proud of my students, and this is the Malawi ambassador's wife. And we all worked together on making Mama Kits, Safe Motherhood Initiative. And we are so happy that all the kits went directly to Malawi. We did not get lost in translation. So, and the other thing is, we raised funds to build for a clinic and also to build a waiting room, because Malawi is very hilly. They have very few physicians there, and I think less than 10 obstetricians in the whole country. So one of the things is we made sure. So that's the thing. One of the things is monitoring is very, very crucial. You have evaluation, yes, but monitoring where the funds go, who gets it, that is so important. So that's something. And one of the, this was so successful, I just told my students, give up latte for a day. So they would do that, and that $5 is what you need to buy a maternal kit. And you can see onesies, and I'll just show you. This is the kit. It cost us $5 because we also bought a plastic bag, because Malawi is rainy and the woman has something to carry the thing in. So this is something, this is aid effectiveness, because aid does not necessarily mean you're helping victims of something which happened, but you're just doing for somebody who's in need of basic essentials. And then the SDGs, I just showed you that. So again, I think now with the Sustainable Development Goals, aid effectiveness is very much intertwined into all the 17 goals, indirectly or directly. So the other thing I wanted to tell you is one of the other things we did, talking about aid effectiveness, we collected a lot of supplies for Liberia after the aftermath of Ebola, and we just sent them out last week because we wanted to make sure we were not spending all the money we collected on shipping. So Jopaigo, thanks Henry for your institution and affiliate of you guys, Jopaigo was picked up almost 40 boxes of supplies and sent them to their partners in Liberia, and we are very happy about it because we know it went to somebody and nobody took it in the middle. That's the biggest thing. And even for Nepal, we work with AFIA, which is a local organization in Westchester in New York. And I was able to collect like 900 safe motherhood kits. That's my passion, is to provide safe motherhood kits. And we could send them because AFIA was shipping a container. See, that's the thing, working together. That's why it's important to collaborate at meetings like this. That's how actually even this book, which Elvira, I'm so proud that you got it out just before the SDGs, and it's in the color of the UN too. And it's so nice that you had us contribute chapters. But the whole thing is this kind of collaboration helps you, And one of the other things I'm just doing is, my conclusion side, is that working with an NGO, sending wigs to women who've lost their hair because of cancer. And there are about 4,000 wigs. So we sent some to India. All the black ones are gone. So if anybody needs a blonde or a lighter colored wigs, or please let me know. You can get my email contact from Dr. Vera Kocha. Just email me, because they really help these people. So that's the whole thing. Aid effectiveness, recycling also helps in aid effectiveness. So I just want to conclude by saying that we can be really effective partners by we, I'm wearing my academic hat here because of the presentation, effective partners and working at many levels. And this is what I would like to suggest, that if we would be really, you know, we have to be open to collaboration. And it's just not between universities in one country, but it's also with other people in other countries, because it really goes a long way. And in this day and age, with Twitter, instead of tweeting about if Britney Spears has a 10th husband, which I don't think any of us is bothered about, or somebody else has something else, we need to be using social media more and more to connect so that we can have aid effectiveness. Thank you so much. And these are my references. Thank you.